This is Property of a DCU's Batman Red Robin Comics Verse fanfic, written by Dust to Dust and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Jason Todd. With additional tags for casefic, secret dating, relationship reveal, Robins being Robins. Summary. In Tim's defense, all of their clothing looks the same in the dark and when severely sleep-deprived. Tim's operating on about 12 hours less sleep than he needs when Dick calls him into WE at 2 a.m. for something. Tim's not paying attention to more than the urgency in the man's voice as he rolls over Jason, head stubbornly shoved under a pillow, and fumbles for the clothes he had dropped a mere hour before, grunting out something affirmative-sounding as he hangs up the phone. Jason doesn't stir, and Tim would hit him if he had the energy to do so. He resolves instead to get a conveniently timed headache the next time he gets the energy to get handsy. Tim looks like a drunk who slept in his clothes for 5 nights running as he makes his way to the building. Tim would be more worried about the image he's putting out if the tower wasn't empty of all but the most discreet and well-paid security. He won't care at all if Dick's finally found what they need to get ahead of the serial arsonist that's been tearing through Gotham and keeping them all running too hard and long for the past week. Tim's ready to start selling limbs just for the chance to get 4 uninterrupted hours of sleep. He's become spoiled over the past few months living with Jason. The older man dragging Tim to bed and forcing him to get at least 6 hours of rest a night, no matter how much Tim might protest he doesn't need it. It's become a routine for Tim to relax to the warmth of Jason's arms around him and the scent of him surrounding Tim. Something that calms his mind right down and eases him into sleep almost every night now. Leaning against the side of the elevator as he heads up to the floors Dick routinely uses when cases get bad and the cave is too far away from the city, his eyes slip closed, and he can almost smell Jason around him as he drifts, arms crossed over his chest and counting the floors. The smell is sharp, though, and Tim opens his eyes, baffled, because he's not imagining that scent. Tim looks down at his arms, and the long-sleeved shirt that hangs off his frame more than it should. It's mostly black, except for the bright red letters on the front proudly telling the entire world to fuck off, with a demented-looking smiley face dotting the exclamation point. Tim has enough time to realize he's wearing one of Jason's favorite shirts before the elevator stops and the doors open. Tim! Dick's voice echoes from down a short hall, the door of a lab open and glowing with flickering light. I need your eyes on this. See if I'm seeing things or not.
Oh, shit.
Tim is frozen because he doesn't have another shirt. He hadn't even tugged on his normal short-sleeved shirt under it when he stumbled out of his home earlier. There's no way that he can walk into that lab and not have Dick notice. Not have him make the obvious connection. All of which will lead to a conversation that he's been dreading and avoiding for months now. One that will likely end with a lot of shouting and maybe some bullets fired. Tim! Dick's head pokes out the door, and he looks disgruntled. Just as sleep-deprived as Tim is. Come on, I think we might be able to nail this guy tonight.
Sure,
Tim croaks, and steps out of the elevator, following as Dick turns back around. He crosses his arms higher over his chest, keeping them there, and hoping it's enough to hide the text for long enough for him to confirm whatever Dick's found and get out of sight. Dick's bent over a keyboard, the light of a monitor picking at the bags under his eyes.
Over there,
Dick points to a pile of printouts next to the curled-up form of Damien. A tight ball of pure spite, unconscious in the middle of a table, and using a box of latex gloves as a pillow. Tim itches to say something or snap a picture, but he's already pushing his luck. The report is a detailed timeline for a bus pass, giving times, dates, and locations for one specific person who makes very good use of the public transportation system. Tim turns his back to Dick and reads it, a pattern forming in his mind that maps out perfectly to each and every incident they've dealt with so far. It's good. Almost too perfect to believe, but Tim's been in the game long enough to know that the small details are often what trips people up. It's definitely something, Tim says, turning his head and not his body towards Dick, trying hard to sound casual as the man looks up and seems to zero right in on his face. Do we have a name? Yeah, Dick leans back, and his spine pops with the move. He looks ready to collapse as he gives Tim a grin, walking toward him, circling the table to stand in front of Tim. Babs is running it through her filters, seeing if there's anything in his past we can use. Tim hums and turns with Dick, arms crossing again as he angles his chest away from Dick. Something flickers across his face, and Tim feels his stomach drop as Dick focuses on him in a way he really wasn't before. Tim? Well, until we get her results, we've got nothing to go on. Tim's very being is screaming at him to make a break for the door, to forget the elevator and go for the stairs. Up, because Dick usually goes down first. His mind holds him fast, though, telling him to play it cool, because Dick will tackle him if he bolts. Enough time for me to catch a nap and a change of clothes in my office, right? Tim turns away and forces his shoulders to relax, even as he hears the rattle of Dick vaulting the table, probably with a showy twist that Tim doesn't see, as he tries to put distance between them. Oh, no, I don't think so. Dick's voice is lighter than it has been in a while, filled with a rising glee that Tim associates with brotherly advice and merciless teasing. Hands grab him, one arm snaking around his chest under his own crossed arms. Dick hooks his chin over Tim's head, because Tim is, in fact, the shortest one in the family, much to his chagrin, and twists them both away from the open door and its safety. I haven't seen you blush this much in far too long. Now, you gonna spill, or am I gonna have to drag it all out of you? The spin puts them face to face with a mirror, and Tim can see the blush that Dick's grinning about. I don't know what you're talking about, Tim says, even as the increased redness of his cheeks calls him a liar. Dick's grin gets wider, and Tim can't, sadly, attribute all of the manic intent in it to sleep deprivation. Oh, that's a shade I haven't seen since... Dick breaks off and clearly calculates something in his head. Tim wouldn't be surprised if a telepath were to find a bunch of color-coded charts in his mind, linking certain colors on certain people to certain situations. Dick's eyes go wide, and Tim finds himself spun around. Steph! Not since... Dick nearly pouts, even as he looks overly elated. You're dating someone! And you didn't tell me? The look of triumph in Dick's eyes as he completely fails to protest the scarily accurate guess makes him want to jump out the closest window. Maybe after punching Dick in the head. Dick, it's not really any of your business. Which is a mistake Tim wouldn't have made if he wasn't so tired. Dick looked suspicious and offended now. Tim, who are you dating? Tim, Con, Bart, Cassie. A list of acceptable names runs through his head, and he almost throws one out to get Dick off the trail, but doesn't at the last second. Panicked as he is, Tim is not going to lie about this. He isn't going to pretend it's not Jason he's seeing, because he lies about so much else. Tim's mouth opens and closes, and the suspicion sharpens in Dick's eyes. A snort from behind them draws them out of their stare-off. It's Todd. Damien looks rumpled and adorable, for all that his words spell certain doom for Tim's peace of mind. A grace from sleeping on a box, making even his most fearsome scowl look cute. It is Todd's awful shirt he's wearing and trying to hide from you, after all. Dick stares at Damien, a look of incomprehension on his face as Tim groans, letting his arms fall. Dick's head snaps back around, and he stares at the shirt. Long and hard. His voice is lost and confused as he plucks at the offending shirt. What? How? No, why? Damien flows off the table with unnatural grace and heads out of the room. Really, Grayson, why are you acting so surprised? The boy stops at the door to glare back at them both. They have been courting for years now. Eventually, they were bound to take it further. What? Dick's eyes are wide and a little horrified. Which is fine, because they match Tim's feelings perfectly as Damien walks out. That's not... No. Tim breaks off an explanation he really doesn't have ready and rushes to the door, shouting at Damien's back. No! Trying to kill each other does not count as courting, Damien! Damien gives him a look just before the elevator doors close. Of course it does, Drake. How else are you to know if your lover is worthy to stand by your side than to test them? Tim gapes a bit at the now closed doors. Questions he doesn't want to ask or know the answers to swirling in his head. All of which get dumped the second Dick speaks up behind him, voice firm and worried. Tim, we need to talk about this. There's a window in the next lab. He can crash through it in under 10 seconds if he really tries. Tim looks at the other door wistfully before turning to face his brother. The end. Arthur's notes. Based off of this, a Tumblr post from Katohime 1412. What if Tim was secretly dating Jason and Dick called him in urgently, so he got dressed really fast but discovered that Tim was wearing something of Jay's just before entering? Reader's notes. The original Tumblr post link in the text of this fic is no longer available. I have placed a link to the Wayback Machine's archived post in the Podfic metadata. Not 100% sure if that post is still rebloggable or visible once you get this further down the line, because Podfic is like a time capsule. But I made an attempt, and that's why it's read in the notes as well, so that everyone can have the context. There is nothing more heartbreaking than seeing somebody say, based off of this, and you click it, and it is one of those stupid little, you know, geodesic repeating prints and Tumblr saying, this post doesn't exist anymore. There's nothing to see here. And then you're just heartbroken because you're like, what is it? I know the shape of the thing that inspired it because I see the post inspiration, but it's like, you know, ginkgos and the type of beetle that's gone extinct that no longer pollinates them. That's what it is. But, you know, for fan works. Anyway, thank you
so much to Dust to Dust for having blanket permission to podfic. This was delightful. I had a great time with it. My voice is on the outs because I have been the black lung for the whole weekend. And it's like, no. I don't love this. I don't love this at all. But also, the words must come. The podfic must be recorded. So yes, thank you to Dust to Dust. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.